ॐ हरि ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः In this Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, we have just seen only one discussion on the one upasanam, Ashva upasanam, and then we went into the next topic of Agni upasanam. But instead of discussing the Agni upasanam, now we are seeing the topic of creation, srishtihi. And even there, in the topic of creation also, we are still with that one statement. Nothing existed before. In all other Upanishads, we always see the statement like Sadeva Asit. In Chandogyam, we have seen this statement, Sad eva saumya idam agra asit. Sat alone was there before. And the same statement, here presented differently, saying, nothing was there before. So nothing was there. And here, but the particular statement, Alshankar Bhagavatpada takes and elaborates. In his commentary, refuting all other schools of thought who are holding on to the view that nothing existed before and nothing is existing now, therefore there is only shunya. There is only nothingness alone is the ultimate truth. Ultimately, what we have to arrive at is nothingness. Therefore, Shankara Bhagavatpada, in order not to give room for the Shunyavadis to establish their view that they may take this Vedic statement as a Shruti Pramanam. Even though they do not believe in the Shastram, Veda Shastram, even though they are Nastikas, even though they do not accept Veda as the Pramanam, still, they can, to establish their view, they can quote the statement, we do not believe in Shruti, saying that we do not believe in Shruti, but you are the people, you believe in Shruti, and your own statement from your own Veda, we can quote, which accept our view that nothing existed before. Shunyam alone was, Shunyam alone is. Nothing was, nothing is. So they cannot even account for all the forms, names and functions. So Shankara Bhagavatpada picks up and then he wanted to establish that. In fact, Sadeva Asit alone, he said here differently, and nothing was there before. nothing was there before means that statement does not deny the existence of the reality. That statement only denies the, does not deny the existence of even, not even the forms, names, forms and functions. It only, that statement only denies the manifestation. What was not there before was the manifestation. What was not there before was the manifestation. Manifestation was not there before. Reality was all the forms, names and functions also were there before, which means the universe also was there before. The reality was there, universe obtaining the forms, names and functions, including time and space, also was there before. What was not there before was the manifestation. Because manifestation was not there. So when there is no manifestation, everything remains as one non-dual. Everything remains as one secondless non-dual reality without the experience of the divisions, without the experience of the duality. When everything remains as one, secondless and non-dual, even after the manifestation, there is one secondless non-dual reality is there. So before the creation, before the everything came into existence, what nothing was there, that statement actually implies, nothing was there does not mean the reality was not there. Nothing was there, does, the statement does not mean the, all these effects in terms of forms, names and functions were not there. Does not mean, so nothing was there implies only manifestation alone was not there before. So what is now is the manifestation. So what was there before is now also. Only thing is, manifestation was not there before, now there is manifestation. So when there is no manifestation, then the forms, names and functions are undifferentiated, cannot be differentiated. Forms cannot be differentiated. Therefore, the names indicating the forms also cannot be differentiated. And the functions or purposes, the forms are involved, associated with, also cannot be differentiated. When they are unmanifest, they are all undifferentiated. When they are undifferentiated, they remain as one. Inseparably one. And when there is no manifestation, when they, all these forms, names and functions which constitute the so-called universe now, also remains undifferentiated, then there is no time, there is also no space. When everything is unmanifest, when there is no manifestation, there is no time, there is no space. We have to remember this. See, the time can exist only when there is manifestation. Space can exist, enjoy its existence only when there is manifestation. And therefore, all the forms, names and functions which exist within the realm of time and space also can enjoy existence only when there is manifestation. In fact, otherwise, all of the time and space and everything, anything existing within the realm of time and space, all of them remain as one indivisible reality when nothing is differentiated. Therefore, this is one of the reasons why even the scientists say the consciousness has a beginning. Some of the scientists, they say, in fact, man, only when there is manifestation, even the life also is there. When there is no manifestation, reality is, time is, space is, all the forms are, and the words indicating the forms are, and the purposes the forms serve, all the functions associated with the forms are all there as one undifferentiated, unmanifest reality, then there is no life also. When there is no manifestation, there is no life. The truth of life is there. The source of life is there. Like the seed. When you see a seed, any seed, the seed looks dry. Seed looks lifeless. Seed looks very, very dry. But the same seed, if you sow it, you can see how the life becomes manifest, the morph of plant. So when you see the seed, you can say seed is lifeless. The seed looks less lifeless. Life is also unmanifest. The same way, when there is no manifestation, life is also unmanifest. Life is unmanifest, forms are unmanifest, names are unmanifest, functions are unmanifest, time is unmanifest, space is unmanifest. Only when there is manifestation of time and space, and within, then everything else also becomes manifest. Thereby there is also differentiation of everything is also possible. In manifestation, differentiation is possible. In manifestation, there is life. Then it is all, only when there is life, recognizability of everything is also possible. Accessibility is also possible. When everything is unmanifest, when there is no manifestation, when everything is undifferentiated, then nothing is recognizable also. So recognizability is there only when there is manifestation, only when there is differentiation. Therefore, this manifestation of the reality, the power of reality, is mistaken to be the beginning of life. Manifestation of the reality obtaining in the form of knowledge is mistaken by other people as mistaken to be the beginning of life. So, in beginning of life, that's right, beginning of life. So, manifestation of the power of reality is the beginning of life, existence of life. And then when the power of reality becomes unmanifest, then the life also what now? That's the end of life. End of life means the life becomes again, life is, life also becomes unmanifest. But the beginning of life is mistaken to be the beginning of consciousness, beginning of the reality, name of knowledge. When is it available for anything? When is the reality available for recognition? Reality is available for recognition only when it is manifest. Therefore, this manifestation of the power of reality is the beginning of life, and the beginning of life is mistaken for the beginning or origination of the reality name of knowledge, the consciousness. This is wrong. It's a wrong thing on the part of the scientists. It's a different thing. So, nothing was there in place. Manifestation was not there. Therefore, everything, when there's no manifestation, even though time is, space is, all the times, all the forms, names and functions which exist within the realm of the time and space are, when there is no manifestation, all of them remain as one undifferentiated reality, then all of them are as good as non-existent. When there is non-recognizable, it is as good as non-existent. It's exactly like when you see a piece of rock. In that piece of rock, reality is there or not? Reality obtaining in the form of knowledge is there or not? There is very much, there is knowledge very much in the person, in the knowledge or consciousness. The reality in the form of knowledge or consciousness, existence is very much there in the piece of rock, but it is non-recognizable. Because why it is not non-recognizable in a piece of rock? Because there is no manifestation. Why there is no manifestation? In not only the rock, in any non-living thing, in any non-living thing, and every living non-living thing, and all the inanimate beings, reality in the form of consciousness is very much there. Reality is. In every jada vastu, reality is. But still, the reality of consciousness is not recognizable. Why reality obtainment of consciousness is not recognizable? Reality obtainment of pure knowledge is non-recognizable in non-living things. Because reality in the knowledge is, but it is not manifest in non-living things. Because there is no manifestation of reality of knowledge in non-living things, because there is no manifestation, it is non-recognizable. So recognizability presupposes the manifestation. Even if the reality is, if it is not manifest, it is non-recognizable. And the question comes, why it is not manifest in non-living things? Because in non-living things, there is no manifesting medium. There's no manifesting medium means there is no subtle body. See, for the reality, obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, or the reality which is of the nature of knowledge or consciousness, if it has to be recognized or recognizable, it must become manifest. And for this reality of knowledge to become manifest, there must be manifesting medium. And what is that which alone can become, serve as a manifesting medium? Only the subtle body. The subtle matter alone can reflect or manifest consciousness. In gross matter, consciousness is, but there is no manifestation. In subtle matter, consciousness is, but there is manifestation. And if there's manifestation, it is recognizable. Suppose in non-living things or inert matter, in the gross matter, I don't want to say inert matter, any matter is inert only. So in gross matter also is inert, subtle matter also is inert. Everything is reducible to subtlest matter, in fact. Subtle matter also is inert, of the nature of inertness. Gross matter is also of the nature of inertness. The only difference is, if the in subtle matter, in gross matter, in matter, whatever is the nature of the matter, everywhere reality is very much there in the form of consciousness or existence. Reality very much is much, very much there. But still, even though reality is, where it is recognizable, where it is non-recognizable. In subtle matter, manifestation is possible, therefore it is recognizable. In gross matter, manifestation is not there, therefore it is non-recognizable. That's why all those things which have only gross matter, where there is no subtle matter, subtle body, then manifestation is not possible. Therefore, recognizability is also not there. So, because it is non-recognizable, what do we say? We think the consciousness is as good as non-existence, and with reference to all the non-living things, the rocks, mountains, and rivers, every non-living thing. That's why we cannot see the consciousness there. Our reality of knowledge is not recognizable. Because it is non-recognizable, we all think what? There's no consciousness in a piece of stone. We easily, because it is our conclusion, based on our perception and understanding, whenever we see anything inert, we think inert means what? Anything lifeless, non-living thing, inanimate thing, we think there's no consciousness. We easily think there's no consciousness. It's very difficult even to believe that there is consciousness on the part of a piece of rock. There is consciousness, which means, because when you say the reality is of the nature of consciousness, and therefore it is all pervasive. When you say reality, which is of the nature of consciousness, is there, all pervasive, all pervading, pervading everything in and through, it must be there everywhere. Your reality, which is of the nature of consciousness, is there pervading in and through every non-living thing also. But still, we don't say that there is consciousness. We don't understand that, because for us, it is difficult to relate to a lifeless and non-living thing, yeah, something which has consciousness in it. Because consciousness is the very content, essential nature of everything here. When you say consciousness, the reality which is of the nature of consciousness, or I can say which is of the nature of knowledge, is there in and through pervading everything. Is there knowledge in a piece of rock? Of course, there's knowledge in a piece of rock, but that the knowledge is the reality. Therefore, wherever there is life, we understand reality being manifest. In fact, wherever there's manifestation of reality, and we can see the nature of the reality in terms of consciousness being manifest in all living beings. In non-living things, it is not manifest. Therefore, we easily take it as non-existent. It is very difficult for us to accept that fact. Therefore, what I want to say here, non-recognizability of the life, a non-recognizability, a lifelessness, a non-recognizability of the reality, because of its being not unmanifest in certain non-living things, you are mistaken for the non-existence there. Because once you use the term reality of the whole, and reality is of the nature of all pervasiveness, and that reality which is of the nature of all pervasiveness, which is there as the existence of everything, you know, is of the nature of knowledge or consciousness. Therefore, reality which is of the nature of consciousness is there pervading everything in and through, and in living beings as well as non-living things. But in living things also, there is reality which is of the nature of knowledge. In non-living things also, there is reality which is of the nature of knowledge. The only thing is, in living beings, we can see in living beings, there is life. Therefore, life implies the reality which is of the nature of consciousness being manifest. There's only difference. Because there is a manifesting medium, which is a sukshma. And because of this sukshma alone, there is manifestation is possible. Therefore, life also is possible. Recognizability also is there. Again, in everything, wherever there is life, in every living being, wherever we see life, and there are many functions. Because life implies living means functions happening. The functions happening, breathing, respiration, inhalation, exhalation, circulation, digestion, all these functions, I'm just saying, all the physiological functions must happen. Only then life is possible. Without the physiological functions, life will be impossible. What determines the life being present in something? It is the physiological functions. So in every living being, there are physiological functions, but the degree of the level of the functions, the differ from a being to being. In all the living beings, wherever we find life, there are functions. And wherever there are functions, and we have to remember this fact, functions cannot happen by themselves, or each and every function which is happening is within the realm of a given order. No function can happen just like that. There is an order involved in every function. Why if lungs are pumping like this, expanding and contracting, there is a order involved. Why our heart is pumping, you know, with locked up noise, because there's function, there's a law, order involved. In every function of every organ, actually, even the realm of the order means nothing exists outside of the order. There is very much order involved in every function. And wherever there is order involved, and order cannot be by itself, order must be backed by knowledge. Order must be backed by knowledge. So function, you all these time days I've been talking to you about the function, the nama rupa karma. Now I'm adding, elaborating on the function. What about the karma function? Every function and any function associated with a given order. All the activities, all the functions are backed by, are within the realm of the order. And that order, wherever there is order, order cannot be by itself. There must be knowledge backing the order. Therefore, life presupposes functions. Functions presupposes the order. Order presupposes the knowledge. See the order, okay? All the life, you can say, in all the living beings, in all the living creatures, whether it's a sthavara or jangama, whether it's an immobile plant or a mobile creatures, beings, all the animals, etc. Sthavara jangama, whatever it is, a creature, in all the living beings, have life, and wherever there's life, life presupposes functions, and functions presuppose the order, and order presupposes the knowledge, which means without the knowledge backing the order, there cannot be order at all. Olungu. And without the, the Tamil word is olungu. And without the order, there cannot be functions. And without the functions, there cannot be life. The four should go together. And that knowledge, what we understand, like how the knowledge without which there cannot be order, without the backing of which there cannot be something called order, and without which order there cannot be functions, and without the functions, which function there can be life, and that knowledge, that reality, or that knowledge backing the order involved in the functions, because of which life is possible, living is possible, and that reality, that knowledge is actually recognizable. We cannot see through physical eyes. We understand, we cannot see through our physical eyes. We cannot, hear the knowledge, smell that, taste the knowledge. But still, we can understand that knowledge without the backing of which order is impossible, and without which order the functions are not possible, without the which the very life itself is not possible. Wherever we see life, full of life, we say there is a mobile or immobile being. In wherever we see life, that life presupposes the functions backed by the order involved in the order and backed by the knowledge. And that knowledge is, Shastram says, very clear, that knowledge, you cannot deny that. You understand, no thinking mind can deny that fact. And that knowledge which is recognizable, you understand that, you understand the knowledge being manifested, is manifest knowledge. That knowledge is manifest knowledge. And that manifest knowledge, where is actually what? The manifestation of the reality. Therefore, that manifest knowledge is essentially pure knowledge. The recognizable manifest knowledge is actually non-recognizable pure reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge. The manifest knowledge is nothing but the reality which is of obtaining of pure knowledge. This order you should remember. And here, this level of manifestation of knowledge differs. Level of manifestation of knowledge differs. Even though the source of manifestation is one and the only reality which is of the nature of pure knowledge or pure consciousness, the level of manifestation of the knowledge involves difference. There is difference in the manifestations. Levels of manifestation has difference. Therefore, the differences are there only with reference to manifestation. The difference in manifestation, no doubt, but the source of the manifestation is free from all differences. The reality, which is of the nature of pure knowledge, which is the source of all forms of manifestations, all levels of manifestations of knowledge, is one. Whereas the manifestations, free from differences, whereas the manifestations are different and many. Manifestations are many, therefore there's also difference in levels of manifestation. So difference in the levels of manifestation should not be mistaken for the difference in the source of manifestation. For the source of manifestation, the truth of manifestation, the origin of manifestation is one indivisible, partless, divisionless whole. So the difference are only in manifestations. So when he said that there's a level of manifestation, there's a difference when he say in a living creature, tiniest creature, there is a manifestation of knowledge. Even a tiniest fly or tiniest ant, the single cell, the life of like amoeba and paramecium. So doesn't matter how big the object is, like the living being is, in every living creature there is manifestation of the knowledge, the reality of knowledge. So there, how much there is manifestation means, that's why no living being, every living being has got its own inbuilt knowledge to live its life. Inbuilt knowledge to live its life. No animal, no other living creature goes to any other living creature to learn how to live one's life. Without being taught or trained by any other creature, every living being lives its life. Because there is that knowledge. And that knowledge, because of the manifestation of which, that manifest knowledge, because the presence of which, or every living creature is capable of living its life successfully, meaningfully, its own life is complete. Without any help, it lives its life. And that knowledge is manifestation of the reality, which is of the nature of pure knowledge. Is only way you can recognize the reality in terms of its manifestation. We recognize the reality in terms of its manifestation of knowledge. So we do not need to teach the honeybee how to go to the flower and how to suck the honey. How to store the honey. We don't need to teach. A honeybee is blessed with adequate knowledge to live its life. Any fly, any ant, any mosquito, any donkey, any monkey, every living being is blessed with adequate knowledge to live its life. Because every living being is also not just one particular thing. Every living being is also composite of many factors. So which is actually the living being? Can you throw just the head and say it is a cow? Seeing the cow, you can't just throw the cow also as what they say. Not just the cow, not just the tail alone does not make the cow. But without the tail, there cannot be a cow. Without the head, there cannot be a cow. So every individual living creature is also a composite of many factors. And if you see every organ which forms part of the living creature, it can be our. So we have to include ourselves in that animal, any living being. So every and any living being or any animal which is a living creature, every being is composed of many factors, means, and we can see every organ individually also. It can be heart, it can be lungs, it can be kidneys, or every organ, all the other subtle powers, everything we see, and everywhere there's a separate function. In the heart, there's a separate function, kidney is a separate function, lungs are separate, involved in a separate function. Every organ is a function by itself, involved in the function, including the mind, again, is another subtlest to, you know, function. Every organ implies a function. And in each organ, there is an order backing that function, and there is involved that function, and there is knowledge backing that order. So we cannot teach our heart how to pump. We cannot teach our lungs how to contract and expand. We need not teach our kidneys how to, you know, expand and contract. So we need not teach any organ, which means what say do we have our own organs? What say do we have our own organs? Every organ has inbuilt knowledge to do its function. The function is associated with every organ, also given function, and that function, there is an order in that function backed by the knowledge, because we cannot instruct or teach any organ how to function. Every organ is already blessed with the backed by the knowledge for it to function the way it functions. And that knowledge, therefore, knowledge is not there only somewhere. For reality alone, there is no other thing, other than the reality, which alone is there as the knowledge is manifestation of the reality, which is of the nature of pure knowledge or pure consciousness. That is why everywhere there is jnanam. There is a heart, there is jnanam, lungs, there is jnanam, kidneys, there is jnanam, in your seeing power, there is jnanam, in every cell in your body, there is jnanam. Because every cell, there is a function. And that jnanam is what? Manifestation of knowledge, manifestation of the reality. That knowledge itself is manifestation of the reality, which is the nature of pure knowledge. Now we go to the human mind. So human mind also is much subtler thing, at least not really the gross heart. We cannot even make out the reality being manifest in the knowledge back in the odd involved, the gross parts, which is heart is a gross thing, kidneys are gross, lungs are gross, even that the functions are something you cannot conceive. The order, you understand the order being manifest, but we cannot see through physical eyes. Now we really go to the very mind. The mind also is the function. And because lots of constantly thoughts come and thoughts go, and thoughts come and thoughts go, thoughts keep changing. The mind is also function. And there also we see what in that mind, antahkaranam alone, the human intellect, the human antahkaranam, it is the antahkaranam which makes a human being different and distinguished and unique and most sophisticated. What makes a human being very special? It is this antahkaranam. It is function of mentation, which is not there on the part of any other living being, any other creature. And it is this antahkaranam. Why it is great, it is very distinct and unique, it is here only in this antahkaranam there is manifestation of the reality. Manifestation of reality, manifestation of knowledge, and manifestation of knowledge of what? The manifestation of knowledge of the very existence of the self. And the Shastrams call that as Asmita. The manifestation of the knowledge of the existence of the very self, and which is there as part of the mind, and that is looked said to be the highest form of manifestation of knowledge. That is why we are asked to go there. Don't search for the reality in lower forms of manifestations. In fact, you don't need to. If you want to understand reality as reality, you have to go to the highest of the manifestations of the reality, name of knowledge. So you can understand, to understand the reality being manifest as knowledge, you can just understand here in the kidney, in the lung, in every cell, in everywhere, in see wherever you see life, in all the living beings, without being, you can understand the reality being manifest as the knowledge backing the order involved in the functions because of which very life of any form is possible. That is very simple. But to understand the reality as reality, we have to go to the highest, the subtlest of the manifestations of the reality. And which is the knowledge of the self obtaining in the form of the thought. Now what I want to say here is, that is why Shastra always tells, go to the highest of the manifestations, highest form of the manifestations of the reality. Go there, and that easy to discover what the source of that highest form of manifestations of knowledge. Obtaining no thought. There is no higher or greater manifestation of the reality than the knowledge of the existence of the self obtained from a thought, and which is what the antahkaranam, part of the antahkaranam. So everywhere we can understand the knowledge being manifest, but to understand what is the source of knowledge, which is manifest in all the living beings, to understand that. Only human being is eligible, and human being alone can discover that, and for which you have to very go in such a very core person. You understand? Whereas, this is a story with the reference to the living beings. What about the non-living things? Because the whole Jagat is full of both living and non-living things. Everything you say, what about the non-living things? In non-living things also, when you say reality is one, reality is of the nature of all pervasiveness, it must in and through pervade non-living things also. Therefore, non-living things also reality is, and reality which is of the nature of pure knowledge is very much there, but the reality which is of the nature of pure knowledge is not recognizable in the non-living things, because the reality is not manifest there. There's no manifestation. So there's no manifestation. Reality is, reality which is the nature of pure knowledge is very much, because being the reality, all being all pervasive, it must be there. But it is not recognizable, because it is not manifest. Reality, there's no manifestation of the reality. name of knowledge. There's no manifestation of reality in the form of knowledge backing the order involved in the functions because of which life is possible. It's not that. Therefore, in all the non-living things, reality is non-recognizable. But non-recognizable, why? There's no manifestation. Therefore, non-recognizability of the reality due to its reality being its non-manifestation should not be mistaken for non-existence of the reality. Understand? Reality being unmanifest, being not recognizable, we are mistaken for non-existence. We always mistake non-recognizability is mistaken for non-existence. Okay, so here, now we're coming to the point now. What actually the teaching is, when we say nothing was there, means it was as good as nothing was there. Why as good as nothing was there? Because nothing is recognizable. When why nothing is recognizable? Because there's no manifestation. Recognizability presupposes the manifestation. And therefore, it is nothing wrong in saying nothing was there before the universe, before everything came into existence. Nothing was there means all manifestation was not there. When there is no manifestation, all the forms, names and functions, including time and space, remain one undifferentiated. And when there is no differentiation, recognizability is not possible. Recognizability is not there. Recognition is not possible. Recognizability is not there. Therefore, it is as good as non-existent. For example, your own sleep. So how it would have been before when the whole universe emerged, came into existence, how it would have been, if you want to think, you can never, never understand how everything would have been before it became manifest. Because our own intellect would have been unmanifest. Intellect itself is when it's not there, how can you understand? Therefore, always Shastram uses this, uses this example. Our own sleep, deep sleep state experience is taken for understanding. Our own deep sleep state is taken for analysis. In deep sleep state is not exactly the Mahapralaya. It is not exactly like everything being unmanifest, but still somewhat you can understand. It's a model. Deep sleep state of experience can be taken as a model to understand how everything would have been before everything came into existence. What was there before the universe? Nothing was there means. Exactly. To understand that, if you analyze your own sleep, you can understand. In sleep, what happens? When you are fast asleep, or don't say you, when there is a deep sleep state experience, when there is a deep sleep state of mind, a deep sleep state experience, the state of mind, when there is such a state of mind, there is non-dual experience. You are not knowing you are not knowing the existence of the world, not knowing the universe being there. Therefore, there is no knowledge. Is it there's no knowledge? No, no. There is knowledge. There is no manifestation of knowledge. In deep sleep state, there is no manifestation of knowledge. In terms of I am, in terms of the world is. Why there's no manifestation of knowledge in deep sleep state? In deep sleep state, there is reality in every mind which is fast asleep. There is reality, all pervasive reality, which is of the nature of pure knowledge, is very much there. Reality in terms of pure knowledge is there in deep sleep state. What is not there is the knowledge I am is not there. The knowledge the universe is not there. And which means there is no manifestation of knowledge. There is pure knowledge, but there is no manifestation of knowledge. You have to remember this again and again and again. You have to remember there is reality in terms of pure knowledge in sleep. What is not there in sleep is manifestation of knowledge is not there. It is like saying if there is no mirror in front of you, your original face is there, but the reflection of your face is not there. Why? Because there's no mirror. Similarly, here in deep sleep state, the pure knowledge is there. The reality in the form of pure knowledge is there, very much there. What is not there is manifestation. Therefore, there's no manifestation of knowledge because there is no manifesting medium in the form of what? The thoughts. All the thoughts are resolved. Therefore, there's only reality in the form of pure knowledge. In sleep, there is reality in the form of pure knowledge or pure consciousness or pure awareness. And the pure knowledge or pure consciousness or pure awareness, and they say, without its manifestation. Because thoughts are not there. Why thoughts are not there? But thoughts are resolved. Because there is again, there is a function. Thoughts are resolved. The thoughts are not there. The thoughts are resolved. When there is no manifestation, even though knowledge is, everything is, but no manifestation. Because when there is no manifestation, nothing is recognizable. When there is no manifestation, nothing is recognizable, nothing is differentiated. Therefore, there is neither you, I am this universe is. That I am this, even the division is not there, differences are not there, the plurality is not there, multiplicity is not there, differentiation of forms, names and functions is not there. In sleep, there's no time, there's no space. If you fall asleep, there's no time, there is no space. There's no differentiation of forms, names and functions. There is only non-dual experience. That too, you cannot talk about the non-dual experience when you are fast asleep. You are there not even knowing that you are having that experience. Therefore, can you say that when there is no manifestation of knowledge, then you are as good as non-existent? How are you in sleep? In sleep, when you are not knowing you are as long as you are in sleep, you are as good as non-existent. As long as you are in sleep, the whole universe is as good as non-existent. There is no, the universe doesn't exist at all for the one who is asleep. In fact, one's own self does not exist for the one for the one who is asleep. Therefore, so when there is no manifestation, you in sleep, you are as good as non-existent. And then in sleep, when you're in sleep, nothing exists for you. Your own self doesn't exist and the world doesn't exist for you. Which means, not that the world doesn't exist, not that you don't exist, as good as non-existent. Why? Because there is no manifestation. Nothing is recognizable. Nothing is differentiated. Nothing in sleep, nothing is differentiated. Nothing is recognizable. Nothing is, because there's no manifestation. So, existence, for us to understand the existence of something, something must be differentiated. For something to be differentiated and distinguished, there must be manifestation. So manifestation, people don't know, manifestation of the reality in terms of knowledge. Therefore, non-recognizability makes us think or no, mistaken for non-existence. It is similar like that. Therefore, here, when everything, nothing was there before means, nothing was as good as, everything was as good as non-existent. The whole universe was as good as non-existent. All the forms, names and function which constitute the universe were as good as non-existent. The time was as good as non-existent. Space was as good as non-existent. Everything here was as good as non-existent. When everything was as good as non-existent, what can you say? Nothing was there. That implies not the reality was non-existent. That does not mean nothing was there. I mean, reality was not non-existent. Reality was the very existence, pure existence. Reality was there in the form of pure existence. The pure existence was nothing but pure knowledge. But there's no manifestation. Because there's no manifestation, nothing is differentiated. When nothing differentiated, nothing is recognizable. Nothing is recognizable, it is as good as non-existent. Therefore, na asid, nothing was there, does not mean the non-existence of the reality or the forms, names and functions. Nothing was there implies only the manifestation was not there. At least, thank God, we have this model of sleep. You know, this sleep is experience is important for us to analyze the, understand the, how it would have been. That is why we use the same words, layaha, pralayaha, mahapralayaha. And all the three words, layaha, pralayaha, mahapralayaha. And laya is there. In laya implies in every laya, every day when you fall asleep, laya. There is resolution of thoughts. When all the thoughts are resolved, there's no manifest. In every day in sleep, for temporarily, there is resolution of everything. then everything becomes non-existent for you, including yourself. The same thing, you have what? In death. In death also, after death. So that's why we don't need to, if at all you want to know how you will be in death, exactly how you are in sleep, how nothing happens to you when you fall asleep, you are safe and comfortable. So even in death also, you will be safe and comfortable. In death, you will be comfortable. Only difference is, after sleep, when you wake up in the same body. After death, when you wake up, you will wake up in a small, tiny little baby's body. After a long time, but you will have forgotten everything. You will not be worried about anything of the past. The big difference. Suppose Mahapralaya, we do not know at all. We do not know when exactly Mahapralaya. Whenever it happens, we don't need to worry about it all, because how exactly we are in sleep, so we will be in death. How exactly we will be in death, so we will be in Mahapralaya also. So you will be safe and comfortable, and with their own punya papa, okay, all bundles, and then with parabdha, you will come back, assuming a deserving body, the deserving parentage. So that is why we say what? Vasam sijirnani yatha vihaya. Why do you say that? Because you will come back janma after janma, life after life, and even yuga after yuga, even srishti after srishti, you will be coming back, shuttling here. And you can stop coming only when you discover this. What is that source of manifestation? What is the source of manifestation, truth of manifestation? What is that you, even now you would have understood it. Sort of understood. When you assimilate that, the fact that you've understood the source of, what you understood as the source of manifestation, as the only reality, obtaining the existence of everything, then naturally your very essence is resolved. Then you resolve the essence, you resolve the this sense also, not only essence. You can never resolve the this sense without having resolved the I sense. Therefore, resolve the I sense means what? The knowledge I am is this I sense, knowledge of the existence of the self, I am. Then this world, this sense, you can resolve the I sense and resolve this sense. You, by resolving this I sense and this sense, in the source, its very source is what? Resolving I and this universe. You resolve both in its essential nature. And it's called what? When you resolve both cognitively, then there's only what? Vision of the non-duality of the reality. The vision of the secondless non-dual reality. Then where is that? That's the only way the mind can be resolved, and having resolved which, and coming back, returning to this universe again is not possible. That is why I told in the very beginning, I started when I was still sleepy, this reality is of the nature of pure knowledge or pure consciousness, is never recognizable. Therefore, scientists, always when they try all the experiments, because it is not recognizable, only when this manifestation, it is recognizable. And the manifestation is what? Beginning of life. The manifestation of knowledge is the beginning of life. And beginning of life being recognizable, they mistake the beginning of life for the beginning of consciousness. So consciousness doesn't have the beginning. Okay, beginning of life in terms of manifestation of the knowledge is mistaken for the beginning of consciousness. They mistake. Consciousness doesn't have beginning. The beginning of life is in consciousness. Really speaking, there's no end. There's no absolute end. Relative. There's a relative end. Relative beginning, relative end. There's no absolute beginning or end of life. Relative beginning and relative end. This is what I want to say today. I hope today some clarity must have come. Om Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om. Om Namo Bhagavate Jnana Dandardha Panaye. Om Namo Bhagavate Bala Velardha Swamine. Om Namo Bhagavate Swaminathaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Marudachala Murtaye. Om Namo Bhagavate Skandaya Guhaya Kartikeyaya Shanmukaya Sharavana Bhavaya Srivalli Devasena Sameta Shri Kalyana Shanmukha Shiva Subramanya Parabrahmane Om Kumara Isha Suno Guha Skanda Senapate Shaktipane Mayuradhirudha Pulindatmaja Kanta Bhaktartiharin Prabho Tarakare Sadarakshamam Tvam. Only one sentence of prayer. Sadarakshamam Tvam. Kumara Ishasuno Guha Skanda Senapate Shaktipane Mayuradhirudha Pulindatmajakanta Bhaktartiharin Prabho Tarakare Sadarakshamam Tvam. The special about this verse is we are calling the Lord as Guha. And the Guha means the Guha is cave. And the there's no Bhagavan other than the reality. And this absolute reality, the ultimate truth, which is of the nature of all pervasiveness, all the time obtaining as the innermost essence of every being, available for recognition. That's why available for recognition. Under the sentence, available for recognition only in one's own mind, in the cave of one's own mind. That's why Lord is called Guha, one who is hiding in the cave of mind. Which means why? Only in your mind there is manifestation. Okay, everywhere manifestation. For you to recognize the reality as the reality, you have to go to only in the mind highest form of manifestation. I want to tell you here, everywhere in non-living things, reality is without manifestation. Therefore, no way of recognizing the reality. In living beings, reality is manifest as knowledge, but You can understand the reality being manifest, but for you to recognize the reality as the reality, you should go to the highest form of manifestation. In the living beings, there's manifestation. But where is the high, there's levels of manifestation differ in from being to being. And where is the highest form of manifestation? You have to go there to recognize the reality. And highest form of manifestation of reality is only in the cave of mind. Therefore, Bhagavan is said to be hiding in one's own mind. Not that hiding. Everywhere is available, okay? But if you want to recognize, you have to go in search. Where is he hiding? In the cave. Which cave? In the cave of mind. Why is it said? Because if you want to recognize the reality, as reality, recognizability is there only where there is manifestation, and at the highest term of manifestation. So you cannot recognize the reality in non-living things. Understand, afterward you can recognize, not in the beginning. And you can recognize reality even in the living beings, but yet where it is highest term of manifestation, there alone you can recognize. That is why human mind. Therefore, human being alone is eligible to recognize also. Other living creatures cannot. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.